राधे जय जय माधव दयिते गोकुल तारुणी मंडल महिते। दिस इज अ ब्यूटिफुल प्रेयर विच इज एन ऑफरिंग ऑफ लव बाय श्रील रूप गोस्वामी। श्रील रूप गोस्वामी is the proper authority by which we can understand in truth the divinity of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Can everyone hear? This is a very high and deep subject matter. In fact, it is the supreme realization of the absolute truth. Therefore, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the transcendental nature of their divine appearance in this world cannot be understood by our own minds or senses. They can only be approached when one receives their divine mercy. Without receiving the mercy of the Lord, no one, whoever they may be, has entrance into the divine understanding of the Lord's supreme abode. And how to achieve the mercy of the Lord? To follow the instructions and to render service to the great devotees of the Lord. Shushrusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Viprapundyatiratana Sevana. By hearing from the great souls and rendering service from them, then the Supreme Lord within the heart becomes pleased and reveals all knowledge to us. So we are hearing tonight from Srila Rupa Goswami, who is a topmost authority of Srimati Radharani, because he is descended from Goloka Vrindavan. He is none other than Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is the intimate loving associate of Lalita and Vishakha, and he is directly assisting them in their service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Manjari came in the form of Rupa Goswami to reveal the essential truths of Vrindavan to the world. It is described in the Brahma Sutra, Parasya Shaktira Vivadaiva Shruyate, that the Supreme One, the Absolute Truth, has multifarious energies. And these various energies are spreading and expanding in all directions. And these energies are non-different than the very energetic source. Just as the sunshine is non-different than the sun rays, nor is it different than the sun planet. So similarly, the Lord expands himself for various purposes, but his supreme energy is defined in the Vedas as Haladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. That energy by which he finds satisfaction. Ananda Mayobhyashat. It is described that every living being is pleasure-seeking. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is looking for pleasure. Why is it that we all have this one thing in common? Whether we are Indian or American or Pakistani or Iraqi or Irani, or whether we are Russian, or whether we are black or white or red or yellow, or whether we are young or old or rich or poor, or wealthy, or whether we are educated or uneducated, whether we are a human or a camel or a cow or an ass or an insect, every living creature has one thing in common, that everyone is looking for satisfaction. Why are we all looking for satisfaction? We are looking for satisfaction because we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, who is looking for unlimited satisfaction eternally. Because he is always looking for bliss, therefore we are always looking for bliss. But it is described in the Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Nakangshati Mama Sarvesha Bhutishu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, that when one attends the liberated platform, he hankers for nothing nor laments for anything in this material world, but he finds supreme bliss, Prasanatma, in rendering service to me. The name Rama means that he is the reservoir of all pleasure. The name Krishna means that he is all attractive. That means all the happiness, all the pleasure, all the bliss that we are looking for can only be found to our full satisfaction in Krishna. He is Govinda because he gives supreme pleasure to the senses, to the mind, as well as to the land and to the cows. But the same Krishna, who everyone is seeking for the supreme bliss of life, where is he looking for his bliss? Where is he looking for Ananda? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has expanded himself into two, into Radha Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the supreme of all the Lord's potencies because he is the pleasure potency, and all of his pleasure, all of his bliss is derived from her love and her love alone. Sometimes Lord Krishna is known as Madan Mohan because we are all attracted to the flickering pleasures of this world, which ultimately culminate in misery. But Krishna can attract our minds away from all the pleasures of this world. He can attract even the mind of Cupid. But Srimati Radharani is that divine personality known as Madan Mohan Mohini, who attracts even the attractor of Cupid. Therefore, the devotees of Vrindavan, they have this great conviction that the Supreme is Srimati Radharani. Sri Radha and Sri Krishna are none different, but of the two, Radharani is supreme. Why? Because she always keeps Krishna under control by her love. Krishna is the supreme beloved, and Srimati Radharani is the supreme lover. And the beloved is always conquered by the love of the lover. One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taking all of his devotees on the Braj Mandala Parikram. It was very famous. For 40 days, they went by foot to all of the holy places of Braj Mandal. And at one time they were circumambulating the Govardhan Hill. And there were these very, very sincere devotees who were doing what is called the Eksavat Dandavat Parikram, where they offer obeisances 108 times in a single place and then take one step, offer another 108 prostrated obeisances, another step, and in this way they go around the whole 21 kilometers of Govardhan Hill. So one of the devotees was very impressed by this and said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just see the devotion of these people, how much they are just such tapasya to worship Govardhan Hill. in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he looked at them and he said, yes, yes, it is very nice. He said, but it is not our, this is not the spirit of how we do things. He says, because what they are doing is they are offering all this tapasya to Krishna because he is the Supreme God. He said, but we do not approach things in this way. We perform great tapasya to Krishna, not because he is God, but because it is he that has captured the heart of our supreme worshipable object, Srimati Radharani. These are the words of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Therefore, in Vrindavan, we find that most everybody is chanting the names of Radharani. Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Because they know that Srimati Radharani is the bestower of bhakti. Krishna does not personally or directly bestow bhakti. It is Srimati Radharani that is bhakti roop. She is the embodiment of all devotion. And when she becomes pleased upon the devotee, in her great humility, she approaches Lord Krishna and says, Shri Shyam Sundar, this devotee who is the servant of my servants, he has so much devotion, he is better than me. And then she says, please accept him, Shri Gopinath. And Shri Krishna cannot refuse the request of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, the process of devotional service in Vrindavan is to be the maidservant of the maidservant of the maidservant of Sri Radharani. Sri Radhika Madhavayorapara Madhuya Lila Gunarupanam Nam Pratikshanasvadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. The spiritual master, he is assisting Srimati Radharani and her associates in the loving service of Lord Madhava. And it is by his grace, by his mercy, that we can gain entrance into this divine loving service. Radha and Krishna, they are not in any way influenced by the modes of material nature, but they are the supreme controllers of all material and spiritual worlds. So how is it that Srimati Radharani comes to this material world? There is a beautiful story in this regard. It is explained that Lord Sri Krishna, he comes once in every day of Lord Brahma in the Dwapara Yuga. That is his scheduled incarnation. Now Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he was explaining to his intimate associates, Srimati Radharani, Jamuna, the Sakis, the Manjaris, Govardhan Hill, that now it is time for me to descend into the material world. So you should all come with me, because it is my pleasure when all of my associates descend along with me into the material world. They said, no, no, no. We have no desire to go to the material world. You are scheduled to go to the material world. There does not say anything in the scriptures about a schedule for us. You have said, Paritranaya sadhunam vinachaya taruskatam dharma samstapanaratiya mama vampu. You say that I descend myself when there's a decline in religion, an uprise in irreligion, and to establish the principles of religion, to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants. But nowhere does it say that we have to go. But Krishna, he cannot bear the separation of Srimati Radharani. So therefore she explained that I will only go so long as I can always see you. So how did she descend? It is described that in a previous age there was two very, very great devotees. One's name was Suchandra and one was Kalavati. They were husband and wife. And they performed tapasya for 10,000 years, eating only the dry leaves that naturally fell to the ground. You see, realization of God is not cheap. Krishna says in the form of Lord Rishabhdev, Tapo divyam putra kayena satvam sudyajasyam brahma sokyam tvanantam. That by performing tapasya, by accepting inconvenience, even suffering, for the purpose of the divine realization of devotion to God, this is the means by which we can experience the supreme bliss, the supreme happiness of Godhead. It is not that just all of a sudden Krishna will come into our life or we have a dream. Sometimes the most materialistic people, they come, "Yeah, I saw Krishna last night. He was playing his flute. And Radharani was winking her eyes at me so nicely. Oh, it was so blissful." I run into these people all the time. They are always telling me about their wonderful romantic visions of Radha and Krishna. But nowhere do we find the great acharyas or saints explaining that, "Oh, I have seen Krishna last night." The great acharyas, they are crying piteously, "Why can I not see Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Srimati Radharani? Where is my Guru Maharaj?" It is lolyam. It is the intense longing, the intense crying out for Krishna. When tears are flowing from our eyes in the anguish of separation for Krishna, those tears wash away all of our material attachments. And it is from this process that Krishna can be known. So Suchandra and Kalavati were performing great, great tapasya. You know, in each age there's a particular type of tapasya. In this age of Kali Yuga, no one can go 10,000 years eating only dried leaves. But in Kali Yuga, you can follow the four regulative principles. You could chant 16 rounds, or chant the Hare Krishna. You can be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the spiritual master. And that tapasya is equal to or better than eating only leaves standing on one leg for 10,000 years. But they performed the required sacrifice for that time. And Lord Brahma appeared to them. And Lord Brahma offered any benediction that they want. And Kalavati Mataji, she said, "Ah, Lord Brahmaji, I would like the Supreme Lakshmi Devi to become my daughter." And he said, "Ah." He said, "In Dwarpa Yuga, the supreme source of all Lakshmi Devis, Srimati Radharani, will become your very daughter." So those two great souls took birth in Brajabhumi as Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. They were living in Barasana, and for many, many years they were trying to have a child, but to no success. So they were thinking, because the Jamuna is so auspicious and so sacred, if they were living close to the Jamuna, then there would be certain blessings upon them by which perhaps they would have a beautiful child. So they moved to a holy place just very close to Gokul, Mahavan. That place was called Mukhyaravali, or in modern day it is called Raval. There they lived, in great devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One day, Vrishabhanu, when he was in his agricultural fields, he saw a beautiful effulgent light emanating from the river Jamuna. There he saw a beautiful lotus flower, and in the center of the whorl of the lotus flower was a beautiful child, a baby. She was a girl, and her complexion was resplendent like molten gold. He tried with great effort to reach that lotus flower, but it was not possible. At that time, Lord Brahma appeared. Lord Brahma told him of his previous birth, and he said, "Now I am handing to you this beautiful child, Srimati Radharani." And Lord Brahma personally handed this child into the arms of Vrishabhanu, who took this child home and presented it to his wife, and they were overwhelmed with great joy. Sometimes Srimati Radharani appears in different ways, in different incarnations. Srila Prabhupada explains that in another lila, Vrishabhanu was plowing his field, and out from the ground came this beautiful golden child, Srimati Radharani. And he took her home and presented her to his beautiful wife, Kirtida. Such joy, such satisfaction. Who can understand the divine mercy that they received? But they were very unhappy because the child refused to open her eyes. By no means could they get her eyes to open. So they were thinking, perhaps she is blind. Not only would she not open her eyes, but she would respond to no sound vibration. So they were thinking, perhaps she is blind and deaf. Narada Muni, who had witnessed the divine appearance of Sri Krishna, knew that Krishna was also appearing with his divine consort, Srimati Radharani. She appeared in this world exactly 15 days after Lord Sri Krishna. So Narada Muni, he went to Raval. And there, he went to the home of King Vrishabhanu. And he asked if he could see the beautiful child. Vrishabhanu was very ashamed. He is a great saint, and our child will not even open her eyes. But because he's such a great devotee, maybe he will give her some sort of blessing by which she will get vision. So Narada Muni, the greatest of all the rishis, entered the room. He offered his prostrated obeisances with great love to this baby child. And then he got up with folded palms and began to offer prayers of love. After having the darshan of Srimati Radharani, Srila Narada Muni left that place. But before leaving, he told Vrishabhanu that you should hold a beautiful festival and invite all the important members of Brajadham, especially Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda, to see this beautiful baby girl. So the festival was held, and Nanda and Jashoda came, and in their arms was the little baby Sri Krishna, Gopal. And Srimati Radharani was on his small swing, going back and forth, her eyes closed, completely introverted, not responding to anyone's existence. She never recognized anybody else's existence in any way, shape, or form. At that time, while the music and the dancing was going on, Lord Krishna crawled up to that swing, and he reached up and he touched Srimati Radharani. When she felt the touch of her beloved Shamsundar. He was looking right into her face. She opened her eyes, and her first sight in this world was the moon-like face of Sri Vrindavan Chandra. And the first sound that she heard was the beautiful laughter of her beloved Lord Hari. And then she began to smile and to cry. But that cry was a cry of love, a cry of divine ecstasy. For approximately 3 years and 4 months, she lived in Raval, and Nanda Maharaj was living in Gokul. But because many demons were attacking Gokula, Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, and the other cowherd men, they decided that they should move to a more safe place, to Vrindavan, where the Jamuna was flowing very nicely as well, and where the Govardhan Hill could give nice fresh grasses to the cows. So at that time, Nanda Maharaj moved his cowherd community to a place in Vrindavan called Nandagaon, and Vrishabhanu, unable to bear the separation from Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and Lord Sri Krishna, they moved to a neighboring forest called Barasana. And the wonderful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are the most delightful and wonderful subject matter. And great saints such as Shukadev Goswami, who was absolutely detached from all material enjoyment, they found the greatest pleasure in the wonderful conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Some people sometimes challenge, why you are so attracted to Radha and Krishna? Don't you consider that their pastimes are very lusty? Dancing together, holding one another? But great souls such as Shukadev Goswami, great souls such as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were the topmost renunciates in the world's history. They had absolutely not the slightest trace of desire for material enjoyment. But they found the ultimate pleasure in hearing the divine Leela and worshipping the beautiful qualities of Radha and Krishna. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, indirectly, the gopi who was dearmost to Krishna. The name Radha is not directly found in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is very interesting to know that not a single gopi's name of the younger gopis is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are several explanations for this. Jiva Goswami explains that Suta Goswami was explaining to the sages of Naimasaranya. Many of them were great transcendentalists in the school of bhakti. Many were mystic yogis, and some were impersonalists. So therefore, the confidential name of Srimati Radharani, he did not feel it was appropriate to disclose it to a circle of all varieties of sadhus. This subject matter, her divine name, is only to be chanted by those who are true bhaktas. And it is also explained that Shukadev Goswami, being a very intimate devotee of Srimati Radharani, her very name invoked such ecstasy that he was afraid that if he were to say it even once, he may fall unconscious. He may not be able to continuously recite the Bhagavatam, And since he only had a 7-day time limit till Maharaj Parikshit were to die, he could not take this risk. So therefore the word Aradhana, which means the supreme worshipable one, the supreme worshipper, is given. And in this way, Srimati Radharani's name is spoken indirectly. Srimati Radharani, her love for Krishna is the most sublime subject matter. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have no desire or aspiration to approach Krishna directly. They simply want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. It is described that Lord Krishna is like the divine tree of spiritual pleasure. And Srimati Radharani is like a creeper. Do you all know what is a creeper? A creeper wraps itself around the tree. It is in constant embrace of the tree. And she is the only creeper. And her devotees, her associates, are like leaves and flowers that are growing from that creeper. Have you seen like this? The leaves and flowers have no direct contact with the tree itself. But the leaves and flowers are deriving the same nourishment and the same ecstasy and pleasure as the creeper because of their connection to her. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they are aspiring to simply assist Radha and Krishna in their enjoyment. In the spiritual world, none of the gopis of Vrindavan desire to be with Krishna. Their aspiration is simply to see Radha with Krishna. To see them enjoying is their greatest enjoyment. When you water the root of the tree, automatically the entire tree in every part is nourished. And Srimati Radharani, her natural love for her devotees is she is always trying to bring them to Krishna. And in this way, there is a great, great exchange of love. The happiness of Srimati Radharani is something that cannot be understood even by the most perfectly liberated soul, because she is in the which is called Mahabhava. And there is no one else that can have this infinite, unlimited loving exchange with Krishna. But by her divine mercy, if we obediently serve her servants, we can be part and parcel of her love to Krishna. That is the perfection of bhakti. In fact, in the divine Leela of Sri Krishna, it is explained that after Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis were absorbed in the very, very intense feelings of separation. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis and exchanging love with them in Vrindavan, their love knew no bounds. But when the beloved object is absent, the love intensifies far more than in his presence. Therefore, love and separation is even higher than love in union. one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he once spoke something most controversial. He said, "I desire not to leave my body in Vrindavan." Do you know where he wanted to leave his body? In Kurukshetra. Why did he want to leave his body in Kurukshetra? He explained that the love of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan was infinite. The love that the gopis experienced and Srimati Radharani experienced when he left Vrindavan and was living in Dwarka and Mathura was far, far more intense, far more overwhelming. But then he explained, can you imagine how they felt in Kurukshetra? When you love someone and they are right next to you, your heart becomes overwhelmed. But when you love someone and they are far away, you are even more deeply possessed with the thought of that loved one. Is that not true? Even in America it is said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But in Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna was standing right before Srimati Radharani and the gopis. They were anxious to see him for years and years and years and years. And finally, after prayers and prayers and prayers and hopings and just constant tears flowing from their eyes, finally, they are face to face seeing the beautiful form of Lord Hari. And yet, he was a king. And he had 16,108 queens around him, and ministers, and secretaries, and elephants, and horses, and chariots, and all sorts of royal paraphernalia. They could not relate to him. They wanted to see him with his peacock feather playing his flute in the fields of Vrindavan. Therefore, although he was standing right in front of them, they could not reciprocate their natural love for him. So, to be in the anguish of utter separation when your loved one is standing right in front of you, when you can, he's right there, but you cannot serve him, you cannot love him the way you want. It created an explosion of tumultuous separation that they never even experienced even in Vrindavan. Therefore, the highest intimate ecstasy of the love of Radha Krishna was exhibited in Kurukshetra. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was wishing, let me leave my body in that holy place, where the summit, the culmination of that divine bhakti was manifested. Of course, we know that Krishna, when he saw the intensity of the love of Srimati Radharani, he was bewildered. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana. Krishna says, I know everything past, present and future. There is nothing unknown to me. But he could not understand Radharani's love. He could not understand the ecstasy of happiness she felt in meeting him and in separation from him. Therefore, he decided that he wanted to accept the sentiments of Srimati Radharani within his own heart. He decided to incarnate within this world with the sentiments, with the bhakti of Srimati Radharani. Just as the one became two, again the two became one. So Lord Krishna was explaining this to Srimati Radharani, that I am going to appear in the material world, but I am going to be Krishna with the love of Radharani. And Srimati Radharani was thinking, oh my God, I do not want you to be like this. Because in separation from me, you will feel such ecstasy that you will just start crying and you'll start rolling on the ground and you'll fall to the ground again and again and again, sometimes unconscious. And you will bruise your body. So therefore, if you come, you have to allow me to cover you with my complexion, just to protect your body. That is the reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, appears with the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And it is interesting to know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his divine arrangement, made Jagannath Puri his headquarters. And while he was living there, he worshipped Lord Jagannath. And what is the significance of the Jagannath Murti? You see, when Srimati Radharani and the gopis were in Kurukshetra, they were thinking, Krishna, you are the same Krishna. I am the same Srimati Radharani. This is the same beautiful month of the season of Chaitra. But I long to see you again on the bank of the Jamuna, under the Kadamba tree, in your threefold bending form, with your hair decorated with the peacock feather, playing the fifth note of your flute. Please come back to Vrindavan with us. What is the glory of having all these servants and all these queens and all these chariots and elephants in this royal procession? Cannot you feel the sweetness in your heart of Brajadham? We desire nowhere else. If you invite us to Mathura, if you invite us to Dwarka, we will be lost because we cannot recognize you as a king. Our home is Vrindavan. Please come home to Vrindavan. And in their hearts, they created a procession where they put Krishna and his brother and sister, Balaramji and Subhadra, on these beautiful, beautiful rath carts. And the gopis personally pulled them back to Vrindavan. And the commemoration of this divine meditation of Srimati Radharani is the sum and substance of the great Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would constantly be in the mood of Srimati Radharani when she was meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always immersed in the highest feelings of separation that can only be experienced through the Mahabhava of Sri Radhika. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his words and by his examples, he is showing us the way by which we can gain entrance into the supreme abode of Vrindavan. Someone was asking me that why is it that many other great Vaishnavas, they do not worship Srimati Radharani. There are many holy places in North India and South India where they worship Narayan. Sometimes they even worship Krishna. Why do they not approach Srimati Radharani? Why do they not even speak her name? The reason is this, that many of the great Vaishnava acharyas, they are teaching the love of Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped in awe and reverence. He is worshipped as the master of the creation. Ramchandra is the Lord of Vaikuntha. Narayan is the Lord of Vaikuntha. Vishnu is the Lord of Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, there is not even a trace of this awe and reverence. Krishna is worshipped in his most complete loving reciprocation with his devotees. In the Vaikuntha planets, which is the spiritual world, the perfect abode of God, Krishna, or Narayan, is only worshipped as the master, and everyone is his servant. You never see people playing with Narayan, jumping on his back, wrestling with him, dancing with him. Huh? Have you seen? Because that is not his mood. Everyone is my servant. I am the master. But in Vrindavan, it is for the place of those persons who have already realized the Lord is the Supreme Master, and their love has excelled even that platform. Unconditional love is when you love him, whether he's God or not. Mother Yashoda, she is thinking that if I do not feed my child, he will die. And her heart is engrossed in utter love as a mother for a child. But because he is God and he is unlimited, her love for him is unlimited. When that day came, when she looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the whole universe, she realized that my son is God, he is Narayan, all glories to you. Krishna was thinking, what is this? You cannot be my mother if you're saying all glories to me. You can only be my mother if you spank me and chastising me and think me an ordinary child. So he closed his mouth, he smiled, she forgot what she saw. She became so overwhelmed with love that she could not even conceive of the remembrance of what she had just seen in his mouth. Similarly, the gopis, they are on a much higher level even than Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. It is described that Lakshmi Devi was so attracted to the sweetness of Krishna's lila with the gopis that she told Narayan that I know that you are none different than Krishna, but I'm very much attracted to your form as Krishna. I cannot dance with you like this here in Vaikuntha. I'm going to Vrindavan. So she went to Vrindavan. That place is still there today. It is called Belvan. And she performed tapasya for many, many years with the hope of entering into the arena of the rasa dance with Sri Krishna. But then it is explained that Krishna did not reveal himself directly, but he spoke from a voice. He said, Lakshmi Devi, what do you want? She said, I want to dance with you in this beautiful form of Krishna playing the flute. I want to dance with you there. But I am Narayan. Narayan is already your husband. Yes, you are Narayan, but Narayan, in your form of Krishna, your pastimes are even more sweet. I want to enter into those. He said, if you want to enter into Brijadham, you have to marry one of the gopas. She said, what? I am the chaste wife of Narayan. He said, that is your disqualification. In Vrindavan, you even have to give up your chastity. You have to be willing to do anything just to be with me. And not only that, but you have to take shelter of the feet of the gopis. Take shelter of the feet, but I'm the goddess of fortune and they're just milking cows. How can I take shelter of their feet? So that is the only way. So then Lalita, Vishaka, some of the other Shakis came to her. What do you want, Lakshmi Devi? Please let us serve you. She said, please let me go to Vrindavan. Let me cross Jamuna and enter into this wonderful Leela with Krishna. So they went to Krishna and they all decided that in Vrindavan, nobody considers Krishna as God. They simply love him because he is the most lovable person. He's the most intimate friend. He's the most intimate child. He's the most intimate lover. He reciprocates on that level. And they were thinking, because Lakshmi so deeply has this feeling of awe and reverence that God is, that Narayan is my master, she just will not fit in our village atmosphere. So she waited a long time, and they never came back. Now factually, there is no difference between Srimati Radharani and Lakshmi. They are the same person, just as Krishna is the same person as Ram, and Krishna is the same person as Narayan. But it is explained that as Radha and Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, it is the perfection of the sweetness of the divine love of the Lord. There is perfect, there is more perfect, there is most perfect. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was offered a beautiful prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Goritveshe Namaha. That my dear Lord, you are the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations. Why? Because you are giving what no other incarnation has given. You are giving prema bhakti, pure love of God, to everyone and anyone who will simply accept it. And how did he give this divine love? By his own example, he taught that simply by chanting the holy names, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriya Yitai. By chanting the holy names of the Lord and by serving the great devotees of the Lord, this love of God which is dormant in our heart is awakened. Divine entrance into the supreme abode of Vrindavan is being given freely by Lord Sri Gaurasundar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally was constantly tasting the sweetness of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. As you know, the name Hari is a name of Lord Krishna, which means he steals the heart of all living beings. He steals all inauspiciousness away from our hearts. He is Makkan Chor, he is a butter thief. When through the process of chanting the holy names, our heart becomes soft like butter, then Krishna comes and steals it away. And Rupa Goswami has said, beware, because when that butter thief steals your heart, you'll have no more affection for anything of this world. So if you're attached to the things of this world, do not look upon Krishna. But Srimati Radharani's name is Hare. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare is the name of Radha. Hare means that she steals the heart of Lord Hari. That she has captured the heart of Krishna. That is the meaning of the name Hare. So when we chant the name Hare, Krishna is most pleased because we are chanting the name of his beloved Radharani. And when we chant the name Krishna, Radharani is most pleased because we are chanting the name of her beloved Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this Maha Mantra, the supreme mantra for attracting the attention of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you all know what Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. Rama could be many. Rama is the name of God. As I was explaining before, God is one, but he expands himself according to time and circumstance, in many personalities, although he is the same person. So Rama means Balaram, the name of Krishna's elder brother in Goloka Vrindavan. Rama also means Dasarati Nandan Ramchandra, Ayodhyapati Ram. Ram also means Renuka Suta, Parasuram. So which Ram are we chanting when we say Hari Ram? According to which sampradaya you are following, you are petitioning a particular form of Ram. But the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they chant Ram, they are chanting the name of Radha Raman. What does Radha Raman mean? He who is always giving pleasure to Radha. And he who is always experiencing the love of Radha, the pleasure of that love. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This was the special mantra that was specifically chosen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is from the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti sodakasakam nam nam kali kalmasha nashanam. The Kali Santarana Upanishad explains that these 16 syllables, if they are chanted in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other process that is so powerful and so effective in removing all impurities from the heart and establishing our divine loving relationship with God. So therefore, on this most holy day of Radhastami, we should not come here simply for our entertainment, but we should come for our purification. And of course, in spiritual life, if your heart is open to the mercy of the Lord, that purification is the greatest joy. Huh? We come to the temple not simply to see the deity and go away, not to simply eat prasad and say very nice and go away, but we come to the temple for purification. By hearing the transcendental subject matter of the Lord's Leela and philosophy, we are enriched. We should keep this divine knowledge always fresh within our heart. And the realization of that knowledge comes by the practice of devotional service, by becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, although he was the unified forms of Radha and Krishna, he played the role of a devotee just to show us how to develop pure love for Radha and Krishna. And what was his example? He was always tasting the sweetness of the holy name. And he was always engaged in the humble service of his spiritual master. And he was always eager to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas. And that was, in essence, his life and soul. If you read the Chaitanya Bhagavat or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find the most beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Throughout the day, he was with his devotees performing the Harinam Sankirtan, congregationally chanting the holy names. And in the early morning hours, even when he was living in Vrindavan, under the Imlital tree, he would sit with his japa beads for many hours and meditate on the holy names of the Maha Mantra. And he was always engrossed in the divine service of his spiritual master, Srila Ishwarapuri, who gave him a life mission to spread the divine message of the holy names everywhere. And his greatest pleasure was in giving pleasure to the devotees of the Lord. It is not very difficult with proper association and with determination, we can learn how to accept the divine mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by His divine grace, and by the divine grace of His servants, the spiritual master who is coming in the line of disciplic succession from Him, by simply being the humble servant of the servant of the servant, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, these two practices is all that is required to attain the supreme perfection of life. And it is the divine promise of the Lord. Man mana bhava mad bhaktu madhyajim nam namaskaru mami vaishyasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my friend. This is the word of God. And how to always think of Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught by always chanting His holy name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And how to become His devotee? By being, Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. If you want to be my devotee, you have to be the devotee of my devotee. Always think of me by chanting my name. Become my devotee by becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. Worship me by coming to the temple. Whatever we do, we should do it as an offering to the Lord. Whether we are engaging in our family affairs, whether we are engaging in our business affairs, we should dedicate everything we do as an offering of love to the Lord. And we come to the temple and offer obeisances to the Lord. It is very simple. And if we simply follow this simple formula of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is His guaranteed promise that in this life you will come to Him without fail. You will gain entrance into the divine realm of Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani, when we come before in her temple, she is generally in one of two poses. Radha Vrindavan Chandra Srimati Radharani is putting her right palm out to offer her blessings to her devotees. And here in Gopinath Temple, Srimati Radharani is, with her two hands, she is offering a garland to Krishna. But understand how merciful this pose really is. Do you know the significance of this pose? What she is doing, she doesn't come to this world to offer Krishna a garland. She can offer Krishna millions of garlands in Goloka Vrindavan. She doesn't have to come to our temple to offer Krishna a garland, does she? What she is doing is she is offering Krishna the garland that we have offered to her. Huh? In other words, Srimati Radharani, in this beautiful pose, she is offering our devotion to Krishna. Not hers, ours. That is her mercy. Of course, when we offer our worship to our spiritual master, he offers it to his spiritual master. He offers it to his spiritual master. As soon as you offer anything to your Guru Maharaj or the great sadhu, it goes through the entire disciplic succession and ultimately it lands in the hands of Srimati Radharani, and then she takes it and gives it to Krishna on our behalf. In fact, this is her most merciful pose. She's simply giving our devotion to Krishna. And when our devotion is worthless, Whatever we offer to Krishna, what is its value? But when it is handed to him by the lotus hands of Srimati Radharani, it has infinite value and it gives him the ultimate pleasure of life. So Srimati Radharani is most merciful. She has appeared in this divine form just to bestow the blessing of bhakti upon anyone's life who simply opens their heart to receive it. So thank you very much.